My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is devil destruction power.
With my Bible, I can defeat the devil
every day.
This is my Bible. And
my Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is the revelation of His will.
Whatever it says I am.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, I pray for those who are hearing your word today, Lord, that it will bear fruit, Father God, not just 30, not just 60, but it will bear fruit 100-fold in the lives of those who are hearing it today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I have just decided that with the way the Lord seems to keep dealing with me, I am not going to be able to get back to the subject of worship anytime soon. But it's not like you will be deprived of the information since we have a book in the back on the subject. I do promise we will get back to it eventually, but I have to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Praise God.
All right. And the Lord seems to be dealing with me on certain areas that are maybe somewhat controversial, but I don't know, understand why, because they are all made clear, emphatically clear, in the Word of God. Somebody can get the lights for me, please. And today I want to talk to you about the name of Jesus. Say the name.
The name
of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
See, we've been talking about miracles and things like that. We've been talking about fasting and prayer and how it brings the power of God. And I want you to understand that miracles are for today. Praise God.
Amen.
Don't you listen to these people that tell you that they are that otherwise. You see, let me tell you something. If God no longer does miracles today, then that means the name of Jesus is no longer effective today, nor does it have the power that it used to have. Praise God.
Amen.
But see, my Bible tells me that there was never a limit to the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. And what we need to do tonight, and if everybody would stop walking around and getting up, then maybe we could get this done. But we need to understand the power and authority that we have in the name of Jesus. See, you got to understand, the devil will try to bring distractions. He doesn't want you to hear these things. He knows that you, if you grasp hold of these truths, then you will become a powerhouse for God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So you need to get a hold of these truths. You need to grasp these truths, or you will continue to have problems in your life, and you will not know how to deal with them. Amen? The reason why many people do not understand how to overcome their situations, do not know how to overcome their problems, do not know how to stand in the midst of trials, is because they either keep missing church, or when they come to church, they don't pay attention. Praise God.
Amen.
So we got to learn to pay attention. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, please don't misunderstand me. I know that we have schedules and stuff that keep us from coming as often as we need to, but I'm talking about people who just woke up one morning, just don't feel like coming. And, you know, their attendance is sporadic. So we need to be attentive. If possible, we need to take notes, unless we have a good memory. But we need to learn to apply these truths into our lives. See, many times people are calling the pastors, wanting the pastors to pray a quick magical prayer, and hopefully all your problems will be dissolved and they will disappear. But let me tell you something. The pastors have no more authority over the devil, over the demons, over and concerning miracles and stuff like that than you do. Amen?
Amen.
Every person in the body of Christ, as you will see in a moment, can cast out devils. Praise God.
Amen.
Every person in the body of Christ can lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, that's why when I pray for people and I see, you know, I know that sometimes people have special anointings in certain areas. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that. However, just because somebody has a special gifting or special anointing does not make that person special. That just simply means that you got your area that God is going to specialize you in if you show yourself faithful. Praise God. But every believer can lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. Every believer can cast out devils. Every believer can speak with new tongues. Every believer, if the situation calls for it, can pick up serpents and it will not harm them. Every believer, if they accidentally drink poison, can live through it. Praise God.
Amen.
And all of that, as I will show you in a moment, is because of the authority that belongs to the believer in the name of Jesus. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 as our foundation text. Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verses 8 through 11. And it says, talking about Jesus, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Say highly exalted him.
Highly exalted him.
Amen. Jesus has been highly exalted. Jesus, first of all, I want you to remember, because of the lies that are being taught nowadays and are sneaking into the body of Christ, Jesus has always been God. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, in the beginning the Word was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, capital G. Jehovah's Witnesses have this Bible translation called the World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. It is a blatant demonic heresy. It's a twisted version of the Bible. If you have a copy, throw it in the garbage. Put it into the circular file. They have a version that says the Word was with God and the Word was a God, small g. It comes because of their belief that Jesus was originally Michael the Archangel. No, baby. Jesus has always been God. Say, Jesus.
Jesus
has always
been God.
Jesus
will always
be God.
Be God.
Amen. So he was in the beginning with God, and he is God, or was God, and then he came here. But the Bible goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became a man, and it was subject to all the weaknesses and deprivations that we had to suffer. He did that voluntarily because he knew that the only way to salvation was for him to become a man and to die for you and me. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why he humbled himself and became obedient to the Father and suffered the death of the cross. But listen, this is the good news. God has also highly exalted him and given him a name. Woo! He gave Jesus a name that is above every name. Say, the name of Jesus,
is above
every name.
Every name.
Let me tell you something. Is cancer a name?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's a name. If you go to school, you will study nouns or nomenclatures. That's all just saying name. A person, place, or thing is a name. This chair is the name of an object. Praise God. So, is cancer a name?
Yes.
Is sickness a name?
Yes.
Is disease a name?
Yes.
Is poverty a name?
Yes.
Woo! Well, whose name is above all that?
Jesus.
Well, the name of Jesus is above poverty, sickness, disease, trials, tribulations, Satan, demons. The name of Jesus is above every name. Say that with me. Say the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus
is above every name.
Above every name.
Oh, I love it, I tell you. Amen. Look at this. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That means at the name of Jesus, everything that you're dealing with should submit itself. When somebody bows, it is recognizing there is a higher authority than the one that they have. Praise God.
Amen.
Or the one that they are. You know, for example, my boss at work, She's a higher authority than I am. Praise God.
Amen.
And when she says something, as long as it's not out of regulations, it's not out of sync with my ethics or my beliefs, then I must do it whether I like it or not. Praise God.
Amen.
And you, those of you who work, you need to remember that. God can't bless you if you keep rebelling at work. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. As long as the person's not telling you to do something that's wrong. Praise God. So you need to be submissive at work. Obey those who have the rule over you, is what the Bible says. All right. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Look at that. The name of Jesus has authority in three realms. Heaven, earth, things under the earth. Say that with me. Say the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Has authority. In three realms.
Earth.
Heaven.
Heaven.
Under the earth.
Under the earth.
So no matter where it's at, the name of Jesus has authority over it. Praise God.
Amen.
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. The name of Jesus. Even the demons have to worship Jesus. And that's true, because one time Jesus came into a region and the demons saw Jesus and they bowed down and started worshiping him. Ain't that something? They know they're going to hell, but they was worshiping him and said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" But they knew who had authority over them. Praise God.
Amen.
So the name has authority over every other name. The name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God. Now turn with me to John chapter 14.
St. John.
That is the fourth book in the New Testament. It comes before the book of Acts, and it comes right after the book of Luke. St. John chapter 14. Whoever's out there got a set of lungs on them, glory to God. All right. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," say believeth.
Believe.
He that believes on me, faith is very important aspect of all this. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And then it goes on to say, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name," say in my name.
"In my name.
Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then in verse 14 he goes on again and say, "If ye shall ask anything in my name," say in my name.
"In my name.
You should underline the words "in my name" in your Bible. In verses 13 and 14. "In my name, I will do it." Praise God. The word "ask" from the Greek that I've studied, that word "ask" can also be interpreted as demand. "Whatsoever you shall demand in my name, that will I do." God has given you a certain amount of authority to work miracles in his name. Praise God.
Amen.
To demand that miracles happen in his name. The problem with some of us is that we've been doing this little pity asking. "Oh God, if it be thy will, please just heal little Timmy. If it be thy will, Lord. But if you don't, it's okay. I submit to thine own will." No. You are supposed to demand, praise God.
Amen.
Not with disrespect, but you are to demand. Not so much God, because it's not God that's wanting to hurt little Timmy. It's not God that's trying to put sickness on little Timmy. It's the devil. The devil hates little Timmy's guts because he knows little Timmy's future. Praise God.
Amen.
He knows what's going to happen when Tiny Tim rises up and he comes,
"Big Tim."
And Tim goes out and starts beating out devils and healing the sick and raising the dead and things like that. Glory to God. So you need to be praying for little Tim or little Tony or little Troy. Praise God.
Amen.
And demanding that the devil keeps his hands off of them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So when you pray these prayers, when you pray in God's name, you make a demand on the covenant that you have in Jesus' name. Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and even greater works than these. And in our day and age, in this country, I won't say in our day and age, because there's many foreign countries where things are happening big time. People are being raised from the dead. People are being healed left and right. People are seeing miraculous supernatural provision in their lives. And people are getting saved by the thousands. Praise God. In America, we got so much oppression and atheism and demonic powers that seem to be having their rule and reign, and we're just letting it happen. And that's the reason why we don't see all the things God wants us to see. Praise God.
Amen.
So we need to understand the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We need to understand that we have commanding and demanding power. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, the Bible tells us specific miracles that are supposed to happen in the name of Jesus. They are not limited to these, but they are to happen. And if we can at least get past these specific miracles, then we can see the greater works that God wants us to do. Or greater in capacity. Praise God.
Amen.
Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I want Victoria's Word to become a church that is a miracle working, miracle seeing church. I want you guys, when people call you up and start telling you about their problems, instead of y'all sitting there saying, talking about, yeah, sister, I went through that too. And I tell you, I know what you're going through. Oh my God. And then y'all boo-hooing together. I remember a time when I went through the same. And you ain't helping nobody. Ain't helping a single solitary soul. All y'all doing is sitting there boo-hooing and crying on each other's shoulder. No, it's time for us to stop doing that. I mean, you know, I understand, because I try to be sympathetic with people and stuff like that too. You know, you want people need a shoulder to cry on, and you try to give them that shoulder. But you know, I remember one time when I was talking to a guy. We was, you know, working in the tape ministry together at the church I was at, and he came to me. He telling me, yeah, Troy. He said, I'm having some problems at my job. You know, these people are racist and they just treat me so bad, and I'm going through a hard time and stuff like that. And I started saying, yeah, man, I said, I've been through that too. And I started telling him all my boo-hoo sob stories, and the Lord began to rebuke me. He said, Troy, he said, I sent that man for you to help him. And you sitting up there crying and whining and moaning and groaning with him. You help that man. And I said, James, oh, I'm not supposed to tell you his name, but anyway, I said, I'm so sorry. I'm sitting here talking about my problems too. I said, what I should be doing is praying with you. So I took him and I said, well, I command every evil spirit of racism and torment. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to get out of this man's workplace. He came to me the very next week and he said, Troy, he said, it was a totally different atmosphere when I went to work. Man, thank you. You see, we sitting up there, we're crying with people, whining with people, instead of helping people, praise God. And if we begin to grasp the power and authority that belongs to us in the name of Jesus, we can begin to help people instead of giving them our sob stories, praise God.
Yes.
Glory to God. I mean, people aren't helping when we just, I know how you feel. No, I mean, get sympathized with them, yes. Don't get me wrong, don't be saying, well, you need to have faith. No, that's not the key either. You sit there and you say, listen, I know what you're going through, but let me tell you some good news. And then you begin to share with them the power and authority that you have in the name of Jesus, and then you grab their hands and you stand in agreement with them. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Mark chapter 16. I know I've been preaching on this quite a bit. You're just going to keep hearing it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God. Verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now listen to this. Faith brings salvation. Praise God.
Amen.
So, This is not for the apostle or prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher. This is for the one that believes. Praise God.
Amen.
Salvation is for everybody. So if salvation is for everybody, then verse 17 is for everybody. Now look at this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Say believe.
Believe.
It doesn't say, and these signs shall follow the prophet. It doesn't say these signs shall follow the apostle. It doesn't say these signs shall follow the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist only. It says that these signs shall follow who?
Them
that believe, the believers. And look at this. Look at the very next statement. In my name. Say in my name.
In my name.
In my name. See, the name of Jesus is the, I would like to say it this way, it is your power of attorney. You see, when I was in the military, and because I was subject to go on deployments on numerous occasions, I had, you know, my wife, she had to do business on my behalf, praise God. So what I had to do was I had to go to an attorney's office, and I had to give my wife what is called a power of attorney. I had to have her write, I had to have a document written out, and she was able to do anything she needed done, even though I wasn't there. When they read that document, it was as if I was standing there, even though I wasn't. Praise God.
Amen.
So she could go and do anything in my name, anything that I had the privilege and the power to do, she was able to do because she had a document that says the power of attorney for Troy Edwards has been given to Takako Edwards. Praise God.
Amen.
And so it is the same thing. When Jesus resurrected and decided to ascend to the right hand of the Father, he left you with a power of attorney.
Yes.
And you can go in his name and you can deal with the spirit realm, the earth realm, and things under the earth, and they must respect that name because you have been given the power of attorney to do that. Praise God.
Amen.
So in my name they shall cast out devils, and devils must listen and they must obey. Praise God.
Amen.
They shall speak with new tongues. When I lay hands on you to pray, and you were supposed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I expect you to speak with new tongues. If you didn't do it the first time, you didn't do it the second time, I'm going to keep laying hands on you until it happens, because the name of Jesus works. Praise God.
Amen.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now listen, I remember years ago, I was teaching on these signs in a Bible study. I had a several series week Bible study where I taught on each one of these signs. And I'm going to probably do that here in one service. But I was teaching on the part about they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. And don't you know that just that same week, one sister who was at the Bible study, her daughter came and accidentally swallowed some Ajax or some Comet or something like that. She thought it was that green candy type stuff and started putting that stuff in her mouth. And first the sister said she panicked. She's like, "Oh my God, I gotta call the ambulance!" But then she said, "Somehow my voice came to her." And she said, she remembered, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And so she said she grabbed her daughter, put her hand on the stomach, and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And the girl vomited up all the stuff, and she was fine after that.
Jesus.
Glory to God. So she claimed this promise, and it worked for her. You can claim this promise, and it will work for you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I remember one time I drunk some stuff one time, and I saw what was in it, and I said, God, I said, this was an accident. So I began to pray. I said, Father, you said in the name of Jesus, I drink any deadly thing that shall not hurt me. And thank God, the stuff had no effect on me. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But that doesn't mean you go, you know, there's some churches now that do some wild stuff. I mean, they go around passing around snakes. Said, let me see if you really saved. Here, hold this python.
and they passing out snakes, I'm headed out. I'm gone. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I am gone. But if you happen to be in an area where snakes try to attack you, you can claim this promise in the name of Jesus. My mother-in-law, first of all, we lived in an area in Japan for a long time, and we never saw any, the habu that usually come? We saw, the place never had any habu snakes when we was living there. And they said that right after we left, a whole bunch of habu snakes started moving into that place. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, God will do that for his children. He took care of us. But I remember my mother-in-law ran into one by accident one time. Is that true? There was a habu snake that she had to kill one time? Yeah, my mother-in-law, she bold. she saw a habu. Most of us, including yours truly, would have just went. My mother-in-law took that thing and killed it, man. But she's a bold. Her and my father-in-law are bold Christians. They're gonna be here. You're gonna see they're bold. They can't speak. My mother-in-law can't speak a lick of English, but she'll preach you. She'll preach to you. But they are bold. See, because of the name, they believe in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
And you can. And these signs follow them that believe. But you got to recognize that it's in his name.
Amen.
I want you to see that you have authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't think I'm going to get to all the scriptures that I was supposed to get to today. But let's look at Luke chapter 10. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 real quick. While you're still in the book of Mark, go to 9. Mark chapter 9. Let's look at verse 38. The reason why I want you to see Mark chapter 9, I want you to see that someone who was not even an apostle, somebody who was not even a prophet, he was not even in the inner circle of Jesus Christ, and this name was working for him. Look at this. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. And Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me.
Amen.
Look at that. This guy wasn't even supposedly a follower of Jesus Christ. He wasn't even he wasn't hanging out with the other 12, you know. He wasn't at the dinner parties and, you know, at the bashes and all that stuff. See, some of y'all, because you may think, well, I'm not in the inner circle at Victorious Word Christians Fellowship. There is no inner circle, by the way. Here at Victorious Word, there are no big I's or little U's, but there is an established leadership at this moment. Amen? And you may not think, okay, because I'm not a part of the leadership yet, show yourself faithful, and you never know what can happen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We can't promote people if they're just going to be sporadic in whatever they do. Show yourself faithful, and God can promote you. Praise God.
Amen.
But it may not be in the inner circle or the leadership right now at Victorious Word Christian Fellowship, but that doesn't mean that the name of Jesus won't work for you. It doesn't work for me just because I'm the pastor. It doesn't work for Steve just because he's the elder over finances. Praise God.
Amen.
It doesn't work for Pastor Christie just because he is the director of Eye Care Ministries. It works because you are a believer. Say believer.
Believer.
Amen. Glory to God. And you see that it was a follower. Somebody who wasn't even a follower necessarily. Matter of fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. He says, there will be people that come to me and say, Lord, but did we not cast out devils in thy name? Listen, there's a lot of people that work genuine miracles in the name of Jesus, and they're going to hell. So let me tell you, the name of Jesus works. It has power and authority that demons and sickness and disease recognizes. Praise God.
Amen.
So you should have faith. Peter said it this way. I wish I could show you the scripture. In Acts chapter 3, Jesus, when they healed a man at the gate, beautiful, and everybody wondered, well, why? How did this miracle happen? And Peter
Peter said, it wasn't because of my holiness or anything like that that this man got healed, but it was the name of Jesus and faith in that name that made this man whole. What Peter was saying is, it ain't because of me. I ain't do nothing. It's the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus works miracles today. The name of Jesus can make, if you are sick today and you need prayer, the name of Jesus will make you whole. Praise God.
Amen.
My goodness, I tell you, I hate when time runs out. But, you know, we had some delays in the service today. So if y'all can give me maybe like 5 more minutes. Can I get 5 more minutes?
Amen.
All right. Are you getting anything out of this?
Amen.
Are you learning anything today?
Amen.
Glory to God. Luke chapter 10. I'm glad Halloween's learning. I don't know about the rest of y'all. Can't get a whole lot of emails today. All right, I heard. Okay, thank you, Gifty. I got another one. Glory to God. Luke chapter 10. Let's look at verse 17. And it says, and the 70, say the 70. Not the 12, but the 70. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, ooh, I love this. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Amen.
Say through thy name.
Through thy name.
The devils are subject to the name of Jesus. Say that with me. Say the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Brings devils.
Brings devils.
Into subjection.
Into subjection.
And then Jesus goes on to say, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold. Behold. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Say all the power. Not just some of it, but all of it. Glory to God. He said you can tread on all the power of the enemy. Who's your enemy? Who's your enemy? Amen. Is God your enemy?
No.
Don't you think then why do we often blame God for sickness and disease? Why do we often blame God for our accidents? Why do we often blame God for, well, God is in control? Why would you make that statement in light of your accident or your sickness or your disease? It's not that God is not omnipotent or that he doesn't have the authority over all the earth, but he is not your enemy. He's your friend. If I'm going to try, you know, what kind of person am I if I go to the hospital and go get a batch of cancer chemicals and put it in my girl's food and make them eat it, and I tell them this was so that I could glorify myself.
Amen.
It's to make you stronger and more pious and to teach you how to be good daughters to me. Exactly. Now, how many of y'all, when y'all found out, y'all would call the police and have me put away? Well, I would do the same thing with you. But why would we put something on God or say something about God that we know doesn't even fit our own mental pictures of what a good father would be?
Amen?
Amen. Why would we teach something about God that doesn't even fit what we think is good characteristics of a good earthly father? Somebody might say, well, God is higher. Well, the Bible says if you being evil would do this much for your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you what you ask? God says, I'm a better father than you are. So how are we going to transfer some type of thing onto God that we won't even put on ourselves? So Satan is your enemy. So what you need to do, see, because if we keep blaming, see, the devil, he's very tricky. See, if he can get you to blame God, you won't fight him. You won't stand against him. You won't use the name of Jesus and command that thing to go away because you think this is God doing it. But when you begin to understand who your real enemy is, when you begin to understand your true enemy, then you will stand against him with the authority that God has given you in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, before I close, you need to understand a little bit about authority. You know, when I was in the military, I was what they called a front guard. And so when You know, we had 50 people and we would be in our troops and we would march down the street, you know. And then when we get ready to go to an intersection, I had to run ahead of them and stop and do like this, and then the cars would stop. Now here it was. I had no stripes on my shoulder, but if I stuck this like this and put my hand up, every car would stop, praise God, and wait for the troops to go by. Now, if I didn't do that, I could get my people killed. Now, as I was first learning the ropes of doing that, and I forgot to run out in front of the troops when they was crossing the street, my drill instructor stopped and pulled out one of those forms, those discipline forms. But then he forgot what he pulled it out for, so he calls me in his office, had to stand at attention while he's chewing me out. Edwards, what did I pull this for you for? I said, sir, I forgot to run in front of the troops as they were crossing the street. Do you know what you just did? You just killed 52 effing people. Well, and metaphorically, he was right. Because I did not take my authority, the authority I was given, and stop the cars as they were coming, I just killed a bunch of people. Well, metaphorically speaking, I did. So, now let's apply that spiritually. When you fail to take the name of Jesus to stop the attacks that are coming against you, you are not only killing yourself, you may be killing family members, because you did not bother to take authority. You know, myself and Harolina, we were just talking about how we ran into roadblocks as we were going to Tony's art festival thing. Well, you know, I did not have the authority. Those cops had authority. They had enough authority to stop me from going the straight road. I mean, if I could have just gone through those roadblocks, I could have gotten there much faster. But because of their authority, I had no other choice but to turn. Now, my car, I was driving a big church van. That church van had enough power to plow through those roadblocks, smash them, and get through that thing. But guess what would have happened after that? Yeah, I wouldn't be here tonight. I mean, today, I tell you. I'd be calling, tell the church to pray for me, the Lord. The devil, he sees. The devil's attacking me. No, not because I'm a fool. I disobeyed authority, praise God. Yes. Amen. And so that is how authority works. It works the same way in the spirit realm. The devil has miraculous power, but authority overrides the power. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me give you one more story illustration before we close out. I was listening to I think it was a tape where I read it in a book, I can't remember. But it was talking about a woman who was a missionary, and she was over in Africa, and the local witch doctor challenged her to a duel. You know, he's going to prove that his gods is greater than her God. And so she was praying. She said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, just go to the thing, and I'll show you what to do when you get there. And so, you know, he went through all his chanting and stuff, his humming and drumming and cutting himself and all that stuff. And then finally he got into his trance, and he started floating up in the air. Now, that was miraculous power. Amen?
Yeah.
She got up. She put her hands on his head and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. And he, boom, fell to the ground, and he got scared and ran away. But see, that's how your authority works. Your authority overrides the authority of the enemy in anything he does in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
The name of Jesus gives you power, it gives you authority, and you use the name of Jesus, and it will work every single time. Praise God.
Amen.
So learn to take let me give you a couple of exhortations, and then we're going to close out. The name of Jesus is not a little lucky rabbit's foot. It's not a four-leaf clover. It's not a magical amulet. It's not a lucky charm. You don't use the name of Jesus just to get yourself rich or make things magically appear. All right? The name of Jesus is simply the authority to do things that God has already authorized in the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Every promise that He has made, you can claim it through and by and in the name of Jesus. Anything that goes beyond what this book says and that you have not heard from the Holy Spirit teaching you, you have no authority to use the name of Jesus for. If you are living like a devil, then you're in the devil's territory. The name of Jesus ain't going to work for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So if you say, well, I tried that, Pastor Troy, it ain't working. Well, guess what? You're telling me that the Word of God doesn't work, and I'm not going to sit there and believe that. I know the Word of God works. I know the name of Jesus works. Praise God. Whenever I did not get the results that the Bible promised, I always look at this person, not at the book. I never found fault with the book. One time I did find fault with God until he told me to stop blaming him for my troubles. So after he did that, and I stopped doing that, I started looking at Troy. Praise God. Amen. So you look to yourself. Don't look at God or the book. Praise God. Stand to your feet.
Amen.